It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome in, everybody, to Fantasy Pros. This is the Fantasy Football Podcast. It is me, Joey P, Joe P. Zapia, and today we are going to get a step closer to the NFL draft. We've done a few draft mocks already, trying to theorize what might happen in just a few weeks from now, but after NFL free agency and all the moving and shaking of the last 2 weeks has settled, we have a much better idea of what teams really need, what they really want. We know what you want, which is more NFL draft coverage, and luckily we have it for you today. A two-round mock, got some trading going on here, and of course my good pals are joining me, the host of the Dynasty Football Podcast, the man, the myth, the legend, the Scott Bogman, the man of all things college football and all things Minnesota, the Minnesota Madman himself, the Macho Man, Thor Nystrom, and joining us from Pro Football Focus, whose software we're actually using today for the draft board, is Trevor Sikkema, everybody. He's the lead draft analyst, friend of the show. He's been on, a million times, and I can't believe he makes time for us during this very busy time of year. You can follow him on X at Tampa Bay Trey. And Trevor, I got to ask you, you know, if you can get away with being called Trey with the hair that you have, do you think you missed your calling as an 80s villain? Because I think you would have been amazing in any of those movies.
You know, I've never thought of it like that. But now that you say that, I may have been born in the wrong era. You know, how that meme that everybody posts on TikTok or Instagram is like, oh, I was born in the wrong time period. Maybe that's right. Maybe I should have been an 80s villain. That was my actual calling. But instead, here I am in 2024 doing mock drafts with you guys. So I guess that's a good consolation.
It's not bad. I just picture, you know, Trevor walking in and go, I guess I'll see you at the end of the draft. And then just kind of walking off and throwing his hair back
all
to the
white
side.
Suit. White Oakley suit. Yeah.
Oh, it looks so good.
Dark blue tie. I can see it. I got it.
All right.
Totally.
All right,
80s.
Everybody.
Right out of Miami Vice.
Oh, so good. So roll up those sleeves, baby. Let's go. So again, today, we are going to be rock and rolling the two rounds of the NFL draft. Some things might look similar. Some might not be. Again, we got some new voices here with Trevor joining us today. If you haven't already, make sure you subscribe to the Fantasy Pros channel because we're going to be live on draft night again. We've got more fun draft coverage coming at you. And of course, all the regular fantasy football stuff, the short videos, the long videos, the shorts, everything. Bogman will wear shorts on a video, possibly. I don't know. There's a lot of things going on and you don't want to miss any of them. So make sure you subscribe to the YouTube channel, drop the comments below. And of course, ring that bell till it goes ding for notifications. And speaking of notifications, I just got one that Thor is on the clock for the first overall pick, the Chicago Bears. Thor, who do the Bears take?
Yeah, we got the free spot here. Caleb Williams, of course. Keenan Allen was at Caleb Williams' pro day workout. As if they needed to telegraph this anymore. This is Caleb Williams going to Chicago.
Were you impressed with that workout? Just out of curiosity, Thor?
Yeah, I mean, for what we got of it, you know, we got to hear from Caleb and different stuff like that. But the tape is what speaks for itself with Caleb Williams. Worthy number one pick.
Okay, very good. At first, that yeah was not very encouraging, but I'm glad we kind of circled back. Yeah, it's fine. Yeah, it's all right. You know, it's like when people ask me if I like certain vegetables. I'm like, yeah, it's good. It's not, I'm not ordering it specifically. All right, so let's get to number two over here. Washington is up. Trevor, you are up on the clock. What do the Washington Commanders do here?
I like how Thor started and basically said this is the free spot, because it is. Caleb Williams has just been the pick all along, but a lot of people would tell you that the draft here starts at two. It's kind of a mix of what I think is going to happen and also what I would do here. I'd take Drake May. I really would not be thinking twice about it. I like May a lot. I think the arm talent is fantastic. He's absolutely franchise caliber when it comes to the tools that you have there. Is it always looking perfect? Are the fundamentals exactly where they need to be? No, but all of that stuff is, to me, completely fixable. And what he brings to the table as a gunslinger, man, that's the type of player. That's the type of arm that you want to invest in when it comes to Washington turning the page in a lot of different ways. New ownership, new coach, new general manager, new quarterback. I think it should be Drake May.
I've heard some Matthew Stafford comps. Is that a comp you would throw on him, or do you have one of your own?
I don't have a great comp that I have right now, but I mean, whether or not it's stylistically like Matthew Stafford, you know, some people say like Justin Herbert, just maybe not as good of an arm, but it's like, he has that caliber of an NFL arm. So when people say Justin Herbert, when they say Matthew Stafford, like, even if they might not be exactly those guys stylistically, to be in that conversation means you clearly have that caliber of arm strength to you to be able to make the NFL throws the way they would need to, both with distance and velocity. So I don't have like a one for one comp, but in that sort of tier and category of the guys who, you know, can get it done every Sunday.
Scott Bogman once comped me to a young Stanley Tucci. So there you go. All right, let's get to number three, the New England Patriots. Scott Bogman, you're up on the clock.
Look, I know that there's a lot of rumors about the Patriots potentially trading out of this spot. But for me, I'm not going to be in the spot too many times if I'm a good franchise. Patriots are a good franchise. Let's not be at three a bunch. Let's take our quarterback here. Let's get Jaden Daniels. And for a team that doesn't have a lot of help on offense, specifically at wide receiver, this is a guy that can make plays on his own too. He can use his legs. And for fantasy, he definitely has more upside than Caleb or Drake May because of the rushing upside. Over 1,000 yards last year, 10 touchdowns on the ground as well. And I don't know that he's going to hit that because he is kind of a one-year wonder. I mean, he started a lot, started at ASU, started at LSU, won the Heisman, but his big breakout year was only 1 year, and it was with LSU. It was a great year, which spurned him into the top three picks here on most boards. But I think Caleb Williams, I think Drake May are more reliable and can be counted on more. Jane Daniels is a little bit of a wild card, and I don't know, he's a little thin, and he does take a little punishment. You know, Lamar didn't take as many hits as Jaden did, I think, last year. So I'm a little worried about that. So I will still have Williams and May ahead of Daniels on my board for fantasy, but he offers the most upside of any of these quarterbacks.
If the Patriots trade out on draft night, I'm going to be very hard to handle that evening, Bogman. You better get ready.
You need a lot on your roster. It wouldn't be the worst, but I think it's dumb
we
to
need
pass
a quarterback.
Up a QB. Yeah.
We need a quarterback. All right, Arizona up next at number four. Thor, who do they select?
They're going to select Marvin Harrison Jr. here. Feel pretty confident in saying that Marvin Harrison Jr. is going to be the top guy on that board. That's not what the decision is. The decision will be, do they trade down or do they stick and pick Harrison? That's where you get into the three-dimensional chess thing. Could, you know, a wide receiver later in the first round, we augment it with what would be their third first-round pick because they already got two of them. I'm talking about if they trade with the Vikings. But if they stay here, pretty confident in saying it's Marvin Harrison Jr. They lost Hollywood Brown earlier this offseason. Their wide receiver core is terrible. They need help there. We're going to give them Marvin Harrison Jr.
Is Harrison the better fit than Malik Nabers in this team?
I think so. He's and a better prospect for me. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just out of curiosity, because he's a lot of people now having that conversation. Is it Nabers or is it Harrison who should be the first guy off the board? And of course, we can't have a fun draft without a trade. So we have the Minnesota Vikings moving up to five here, trading with the Chargers. That puts Trevor Sikkema on the clock. So we like to take away this pick from Thor after the first two drafts we did. So I'm so glad, Trevor, you're doing this one.
You can say we took it away from Thor, but Thor was heavy-handed.
Well, there might have been an aggressive email written at some point to Trevor.
I was going
to
say, in the DM, I think that he said to me, he's like, hey, Trevor, you're up at number five. By the way, you can do this if you would like to.
Power suggestion.
I felt like I couldn't deny the Minnesota man what he was requesting there. But this actually worked very perfectly because not only did I have number five in the order of which we're going through this draft, I also happen to have 11 and 23, which are the two picks that the Vikings had. So it was very easy, right? It's very easy to think about why did Minnesota trade for the number 23 overall pick? Well, I don't think they did it just to hear Roger Goodell say their name twice on the first night of the NFL draft. I think they want to hear him say their name once, and it's for a quarterback. And here I have them moving up to number five to take Michigan's JJ McCarthy. Now, look, McCarthy, not a finished product, right? If you stuck him out there in week one of next season, he's probably going to struggle. But he's somebody who they have a lot higher hopes for. They're hoping that what he is in week one of next year is not going to be that finished product. He will be a Super Bowl champion at some point. That is what they are hoping, you know? And so I think with the signing of Sam Darnold, it allows them to ease JJ McCarthy in. I really like the move that they made there. And I think that McCarthy showed really nice improvement from 2022 to 2023, even though he's not quite there yet to this NFL caliber starting level. It's getting in that you can have faith that a lot of the stuff is getting better for him, and you know, throwing over the middle of the field, third and long situations. I mean, he was fantastic about those over the last year. And so you just have to love where he's going. I know Minnesota is going to. And so I got them trading up to number five.
And Thor just ordered his Sam Darnold jersey from the pro shop, so that's very exciting.
I'm waiting until I got the McCarthy one in there.
Sure you are. All right, let's get to number six here. Scott Bobby and the New York Giants got leapfrogged, so how do they pivot from here?
Yeah, I mean, sure, they're looking for a quarterback, apparently, according to Rich Eisen and a lot of reports coming out of New York. But this team might have the worst wide receiver room in the NFL. It is dark. It is not good. It is rough. And how can you expect a guy like Daniel Jones to be successful without good targets? So let's give them Malik Nabers, a wide receiver out of LSU. And I know that there seems to be a dance between Harrison and Malik Nabers with a lot of analysts here. I have them right next to each other. I feel like Harrison's maybe slightly a better prospect, but I like Malik Nabers more. I don't know what it is about him. I could tell you what it is, actually. It's the speed that at which he does everything on the field. He doesn't slow down at any point. It reminds me a lot of, probably heard this comp on your show, Trevor, Antonio Brown. You know, it's just the speed in and out of the breaks. It's crazy. He never slows down. He doesn't have to ratchet down. It's just very strange. It's crazy to watch him play. He is just a different human being than most other people. So I think giving them one of the best targets in this draft, one of the best targets over the last couple of years, would really, really help this passing game. It'll open up things for Jalen Hyatt and for probably Bellinger. I think Waller is going to end up retiring, or maybe he already did retire. But they need a lot of help in targets. And I think Malik can come in and just be a guy that gets, you know, all of the targets, 100 plus his rookie season, and lead this team in receiving and finally give them a weapon on the outside.
So the two big receivers off the board and four quarterbacks. That brings up the Titans at 7. Thor, what do the Titans do now that the board looks like this?
The Titans badly need offensive line help. Last year, they were a bottom 10 overall offensive line unit. They were 31st in sack rate allowed. Some of that can be attributed to Will Levis, but that also shines why they need to do this so bad. Will Levis, someone who struggles with pocket presence, sensing the rush from his blind side. The better that offensive line is, the better that Will Levis is going to be. Joe Alt, the best offensive lineman in this class, would make all kinds of sense here. There's no questions about his evaluation. He is the son of a Chiefs Hall of Famer, John Alt. 2 sacks allowed over the last 2 seasons. Both of those seasons, he was graded over 90 by PFF. And a two-way guy, right? There's some good tackle prospects in this class that struggle with one of the phases. For instance, Fashanu with run blocking. Alt can do it all. And if you needed anything more, he goes and tests 991 RAS so far at almost 6'8", 315 pounds. No question on this evaluation. He'd help out that offensive line quite a bit.
Number 8, the Falcons got their man a quarterback. So now that the offense is back on track, Trevor, what do they do here with this 8th pick?
Yeah, I've got him going defense. I got him going Dallas Turner, the edge rusher from Alabama. It feels like it's one of the worst kept secrets that they're going to go edge rusher at number 8 now that they are no longer in the quarterback market with Kirk Cousins on the team. I think everybody's penciling in Dallas Turner. And, you know, certainly if Raheem Morris in the defense area, if they want to run more odd front 3-4 formations, then I think that Turner as an outside linebacker is the better fit. But I'll say this too, just listening to how Terry Fontenot talks about the guys that they want to bring in, you know, the power, strength, things like that. I feel like he's describing a Jared Verse. And so where I am picking Turner here, because he's a fantastic player, he probably has the highest ceiling of any of the edge rushers in this draft. He's incredibly athletic. He's got like a 6'9", 6'10" wingspan, despite being only 6'3" in height. He's just built exactly the way that you would want an outside linebacker prospect to be built, athletically and physically. So I think that that's going to be too much. And ultimately, I got him headlining their edge rush group next year with taking Dallas Turner 8.
Is Turner the number one edge rusher on your board, Trevor, just out of curiosity?
He is. It's a struggle, though, because they're just between him, between Jared Verse, and between Laiatu from UCLA as well. There is a case for all three of these guys to be edge one in this class. And so I do have Turner at number one, but these guys are separated maybe by 4 spots on my big board, just all 3 of them, because of how close I have these players. It's really going to come down to preference and kind of how you want to use them, what you see the ceiling for these guys.
Chicago up next at number 9, Scott Bogman, the pick is yours.
It's tough between edge for them and wide receiver, and I know they just added Keenan Allen, but I don't care. Give me Roma Dunze here to the Bears. I think he's the best player on the board right now for them. And also, you know, he has every tool in the tool bag in terms of being a wide receiver. I think it was Lance Erlein, excuse me, that compared him to Larry Fitzgerald, right? So he has big time comps. He's a big wide receiver. He can do everything. I think the biggest thing for me, though, is if you are drafting Caleb Williams at one, there has been a little bit of question about his leadership and his maturity level and all that. Rome Odunze is that guy. He is a team captain. He leads by example. And if you get him in here with the fold with Caleb Williams, you have a guy that you know is going to work hard. If you're the quarterback, you can't have a wide receiver outworking you. So I think that they just a career with these guys together would be awesome to see. And I would love to see it. So give me Rome to the Bears to add to that core. And what more help can you do that's better for a young quarterback than give him targets that are easy to throw to, and giving him Moore and Allen and Odunze makes this one of the most dangerous offenses in the NFL immediately. And I think it would be a very, very smart pick if the Bears can make this happen. And if Rome lasts this long, Rome is very high. He's higher than Malik and Marvin Harrison Jr. on some boards. So I like Rome. I don't like him as much as other people do, but I think this is the best pick for the Bears.
Well, certainly you can learn from Keenan Allen, too. I mean, that's certainly a good tree to be sitting under as well. So, and Keenan Allen is also of an advanced age in this league. So we'll see how that all shakes out. And number 10, the New York Jets are on the clock. Thor, that pick belongs to you.
We're going to go with Brock Bowers from Georgia, not a Georgia tight end, a Georgia offensive weapon coming to the next level, a guy that you can line up anywhere. He lined up a lot in the slot, but you can also line him up all wide, maybe a little in line. In the NFL, you might get ragdolled there trying to block, but he gives you effort as a blocker. And then you can also bring Bowers into the backfield. Kirby Smart has said if they had lined him up at running back, he would have been the best running back they had. Bowers' last 3 years led Georgia in receiving every single year. Georgia won the national title twice. With the Jets, right now your starting slot projected Xavier Gibson, and then your starting tight end projected to be Tyler Conklin. You can move Bowers out to the slot if you want to go two wide receivers or go 12 personnel sets, or you can also just keep him in as your tight end and keep the three wide receivers out there. This is a pick that Aaron Rodgers would love. We're sending Brock Bowers to the Jets.
Yeah, it's going to be a great weapon for Tarod Taylor. I'm sorry, did I say that out loud?
No.
Oh, sorry. All right, let's get to the other side of this trade. The Chargers at 11. I can feel the YouTube comments. Oh, I can't wait. All right. At number 11, the Chargers. This is one of two picks now they have in the first round. So, Trevor, what do they do with this first one?
Yeah, so the Chargers have a lot of different ways that they could go with this pick. You know, they move on from five because they're getting a good haul in return, and they've got a lot of roster holes that they need to fill. Cornerback to me is the biggest one of them, right? I think they have Asante Samuel Jr. on the outside, and then it's about it, right? I mean, like, they signed Christian Fulton to a one-year deal, and he might be their best option now outside. And we're talking about how late after free agency you're signing a guy to a one-year deal, and you got to expect him to be a starter on your team. Sure, they have high hopes for him, but man, you need a corner. I'm going with Quinyon Mitchell, the corner from Toledo. I think that he's going to be cornerback one off the board. It's either going to be him or Terrion Arnold, but it just feels as though Mitchell, last 2 years in PFF system, elite coverage grade, which is so difficult to do at corner for 1 year, let alone 2 years back to back. We wonder, okay, can he play man coverage? Well, when he was at the Senior Bowl, they had him playing press man a lot, and all he did was basically lock down every single receiver that was there. So you take those concerns away. He reaffirmed the athletic ability that he has when he was at the combine. So it's like every single box is checked for Quinyon Mitchell outside of him playing in, you know, power five, like SEC level competition during the year because he was at Toledo, but he can't control that part. So he's basically aced every other test. I think he's going to be CB1 off the board. And I've got him here going to the Chargers at 11.
Number 12, that brings up the Denver Broncos. Back to you, Boggs.
Yeah, I'm going to give them a pass rusher here because I don't know that there's a quarterback that they'd be willing to take. I did see Steve Palazzolo and Sam Monson put Bo Nix here in their most recent mock. And while I do think that's a good idea, and that might be what I do, I just don't know if they have a quarterback that high on their board after those top four have gone. So they still need a lot of help on the edge. Jared Verse is available. He is a bully. He will hit a dude with another dude. I love watching him play. That's what he does. He will throw a tackle into the quarterback. I love watching him. They need edge rush real bad because right now it's Baron Browning, Nick Benito, Jonathan Cooper. It's these are nice rotation guys. They need an anchor. And I think Jared Verse can come in there and be the anchor from day one. So that's why I would go with the edge rusher here.
A dude that throws dudes into other dudes. That's a t-shirt if ever I heard one for sure. Speaking of all the dudes, did you know that all the dudes are playing a little college basketball right now? And the thrill and excitement of March Mania is here. And DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 just instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. And again, college basketball, the tournament's kicked off, so maybe your bracket's already busted and you want to still have some fun. Chances are it already is, it feels like. So, of course, head over to DraftKings Sportsbook, and you can also check out our great content over on Betting Pros and on Fantasy Bros. We've got the breakdown of the brackets and some of those teams. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use that promo code Fantasy Pros. New customers can bet just $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with that promo code Fantasy Pros. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
All right, let's give another player because the pick is yours, Thor Nystrom, for the Las Vegas Raiders at 13.
Yeah, the Raiders, a team that on the right side of their offensive line, you could argue that they have two holes. Boy, do I got the guy for you. We're going to give them Talisi Fuaga from Oregon State, 6'6", 332 pounds, 9'6", 1 RAS.
Okay, so there you go. Another offensive lineman off the board. This one to Vegas. New Orleans is up next. Trevor Sikkema at 14. So one tackle just went. So what should they do next here?
Yeah, I'm gonna keep the tackle train rolling. I'm gonna have Amarius Mims from Georgia going to the New Orleans Saints here at number 14. The Saints are sitting in a situation where they've got Trevor Penning starting at left tackle, and Penning has not been up to his first round billing so far yet in his career. And then also Ryan Ramczyk at right tackle, who's been one of the best right tackles in the game for a long time, but he's contemplated retirement. How much longer is he going to play the game? So you have Mims, who is just, and it looks like he was built in the lab, man. I've never seen anybody 6'8", 340 pounds who looks the way that he does. I mean, he looks like a supersized linebacker. He's got the length. He's got the athleticism. He's got the unique size, all that. He didn't play a ton of football while he was at Georgia. Kind of had to wait his time behind some veterans along that offensive line. This year was his first time to really start, but he had an ankle injury that kept him out of games for a little bit. Mainly played right tackle, but he's been training at both left tackle and right tackle. So I think wherever you draft him to play him at the NFL level, it's almost like you can kind of go wherever. I think the Saints might have needs at both tackle spots. So this one makes a ton of sense to me. So I got Amarius Mims at 14 to the Saints.
New Orleans takes care of the offensive side of the football. Bogman, the Colts are up at 15. What side of the ball do they go for?
Yeah, this was tough between wide receiver and corner for me. And both of these positions are deep in this draft, too. I think Terrion Arnold is the best player on the board right here. So I think the Colts would go with him, the corner out of Alabama. And for them, that turns the secondary potentially into something pretty decent, at least at corner, because they re-signed their slot guy in Kenny Moore. Juju Brents will be healthy for the whole year, hopefully, and stay there. But that other boundary corner is either Dallas Flowers, Jalen Jones, or Daryl Baker. And even with the safeties being kind of weak, I would say that other boundary corner is the weakness of this defense. So we can cover that hole with a good developmental player like Terrion Arnold, who has more upside. He's already pretty good. He has way more upside as well. So I think that is the guy that they would take here if he was still available.
Thor, at 16, the Seattle Seahawks here on the clock.
Seattle, a team we talked about last process, badly needed interior offensive line help. They did not delineate a lot of their pick equity to that last year, which means it is still a problem. Let's finally solve that. Jackson Powers Johnson, the center from Oregon. Right now, Seattle has two different day three picks from last year that are projected to start for them inside. I don't know how good you're going to, and very little depth behind them. They can't feel good about that going into the season. Investing a premium pick in a guy you know is going to come in and start right away in there, I think would be a sage decision. So we're going to send Jackson Powers Johnson to Seattle.
That might be a second free square for Thor, by the way. That is, I don't think I've seen a mock with JPJ not going to Seattle. It seems like a pretty obvious pick.
Just because it's easy doesn't mean it's wrong. No, it's absolutely we've also got the Jacksonville Jaguars up next at 17 now. They Well, I guess we could say the Calvin Ridley experiment was short-lived. So, Trevor, what do they do here at 17?
Yeah, I've got them replacing Calvin Ridley with A.D. Mitchell, the wide receiver from Texas. First and foremost, I think he's an athletic freak, and we saw that at the combine results. We've seen that in his RAS scores. Like, Balky loves these guys who are athletic outliers, their general manager. So I think that he's going to be well on their radar. And I truly think that they fumbled the bag with Calvin Ridley. Like, I think that they had Calvin Ridley. They thought he was always going to come back. It was right there. And just for whatever reason, you're not getting the deal done. I think they were trying to, you know, manipulate the timing of it with what pick they're going to have to give the Atlanta Falcons, whether it was a third rounder or a second rounder, depending on the re-signing timing, like all that kinds of stuff. And it just ended up being a mess for them. Now Calvin Ridley's not even on the team. So
would you say they gambled and lost?
I would indeed say that they gambled and lost.
Well, they didn't give enough bonus bets. They put those DraftKings bonus bets in. It would have been a long way for him. It would have been nice.
Good catch by you guys. No, so look, they brought in Gabe Davis, but Gabe Davis isn't a wide receiver one. Christian Kirk, I like Christian Kirk. Christian Kirk's not a wide receiver one. You need somebody to step in and have that talent level to be able to do that. So I think A.D. Mitchell is that type of a player. So I got him going to Jacksonville here.
Trevor, you didn't know what you were getting into today. I know. I apologize in advance.
No, it was witty, though. It was good. I like it.
Hey, look, we like to talk football and have fun here. We like to do those two things. All right, let's get to the next one here. The Cincinnati Bengals, Scott Bogman at 18. Certainly a lot of needs, but I mean, I think we could all agree the offensive line is probably numero uno, yes?
Yeah, I mean, look, the 2 years that Joe Burrow has stayed upright for the whole season, they went to the Super Bowl and went to the AFC Championship. And I made this pick, I think, like as Trent Brown was signing with the Bengals, but he only played 11 games last year. He's a little long in the tooth, or played for the Patriots last year. They need a right tackle real bad. J.C. Latham is a guy that could come in, plug and play right tackle immediately. I think that is a very, very good pick. And, you know, maybe you want some experience and you don't want to start a rookie immediately to protect Burrow, who's already missed chunks of two seasons. So maybe you develop him a little bit, but he is a guy that can come in and play immediately if needed. So I think J.C. Latham and just keeping Joe Burrow upright is the name of the game if you're Cincy.
Nice to see the Rams with a pick in the first round, something you don't see very often these days. At 19, Thor, that pick goes to you.
Yeah, with the Aaron Donald retirement, the Rams badly need defensive line help. Projected starting lineup, you have some weakness there and very little depth behind it. Seems to me like they're telegraphing that this pick is going to be used on interior defensive linemen. Let's give them Byron Murphy from Texas, a guy that is awesome as a pass rusher. Last year, the pressure rate, the hurries, 36 hurries in only 437 overall snaps, 45 pressures. He can also defend the run. I think this is a guy that comes in. You can't replace Aaron Donald, but Murphy no. Selecting him would be a nice step in that direction to trying to plug that hole.
Those are huge shoes to fill. I mean, one of the greatest to ever do it, but certainly Murphy, a guy with a lot of talent. Boggs, I know, you know, nobody watches more Texas football than you possibly. So do you think he's up for the task, just out of curiosity?
I mean, no one's up for the task of replacing Aaron Donald. And I think it's silly to say that, but you have to fill this position. And whether he likes it or not, he's going to be compared to Aaron Donald for at least the beginning part of his career if he is drafted by the Rams. But whoever replaces him will be. So if there
is the best IDL in this draft,
I think so. Yeah. Okay. Him or Newton. I mean, it's razor thin between those guys, but for what he does and what he's replacing at Aaron Donald, I think he is the better guy to put pressure on the quarterback more.
I love that Thor didn't get to make a Vikings pick and Bogman didn't get to make a Pittsburgh Steelers pick at 20. Trevor Sikkema, you're picking for the guys yet again here for their squad. So tell me, what do the Pittsburgh Steelers do then? They have a full quarterback room.
Yeah, I think they need interior offensive line help. This guy that I'm going to draft here, Troy Faltanu from Washington, should not have lasted this long in this mock. I feel ashamed from us doing it because he's he's such a fantastic player. He's such a smooth mover. He can basically play all five spots on the offensive line and could legitimately start. And I think anytime that's the case, that's somebody that you got to prioritize in a draft. So, yeah, Pittsburgh's got needs, potentially at center, potentially at guard. I think Faltanu could play either spot. And honestly, Dan Moore Jr., it seems like they love him at right tackle, but if he continues to not play great, you can kick Faltanu out to offensive tackle as well. I think he's good enough to do that. And then you'd have Roger Jones on one side, Faltanu on the other side. And that's just a really solid game plan for them on the offensive line.
All right, back to you, Boggs, for 21. That's the Miami Dolphins.
I had to take Trevor's boy here, Laiatu Latu, the edge rusher from UCLA. Baby. For the Miami Dolphins here. I think everybody saw Trevor on the sideline at the Senior Bowl talking to him. He is a really good player. He will slip because of his medicals. And it's funny that I'm giving him to the Dolphins because of the medicals of their current edge rushers. Jalen Phillips coming off the Achilles, Bradley Chubb tearing up his knee. They need help at this position a lot. I cannot believe that they let Christian Wilkins walk either. But they need help to put pressure on the quarterback, and Latu can come in and do it immediately. So that's the pick I think they should go for here.
All right, coming up next here, we have the Philadelphia Eagles at 22. Thor, that pick belongs to you.
Philadelphia needs help in the secondary. Let's give him an all-purpose guy for back there. Cooper DeJean from Iowa. Coming off the broken ankle, it might cause him to fall back a little bit in the first round like this, but I think that's going to provide really good value. DeJean, he has proven that he can play boundary cornerback, proven he can play in the slot. He could play safety if you wanted him to. He's a fabulous returner. So you get a whole bunch of value by taking DeJean here.
All right, so after DeJean's off the board, this is part two of the trade from earlier. The Chargers now picking at 23 where the Vikings were. So, Trevor, what do they do with the second of two picks here in the first round?
Yeah, so I had them going with corner up with their first selection at number 11, and now they pick it at 23. Look, when the Chargers are sitting at five, we're thinking about Marvin Harrison Jr., we're thinking about Malik Nabers, we're thinking about Romo Odunze. They got to get a wide receiver out of one of these two picks. So here I have them taking Brian Thomas Jr. from LSU. I think that he is the right pick here at this stage in the draft because you've got Quentin Johnson, you got Josh Palmer, like you got wide receivers that like you might be okay with, but I think Brian Thomas Jr. has that ability to grow into so much more and potentially be a wide receiver one. He's a little bit of a one-dimensional vertical threat right now, but even with that being the case, being able to run a 4.33 at 209 pounds is pretty nuts. So even if that's all he is in his rookie year, it's going to be something that's going to be advantageous for Justin Herbert, that big arm strength and that offense that the Chargers are looking to set up this year. So Brian Thomas Jr. to the Chargers here in the 20s.
That brings the Cowboys up next at 24. So Boggs, what can the Cowboys get here to help them get over this hump where they just can't win big games in the playoffs?
Well, I don't know if any pick is going to break that streak, but I'll give them Olufoshanu, the offensive tackle out of Penn State. And, you know, once again, the name of the game is keeping Dak Prescott upright. And right now, the only tackle with starting experience on this roster is Terrence Steele. So, they need someone at left tackle. Fashano can come in and protect the blind side immediately for Dak Prescott and keep him upright. And this, he kind of is slipping. He's a young prospect who is more raw, like Thor mentioned before. A really, really good pass blocker, not so great in the run, but he will have to learn on the job if he gets drafted by Dallas. And he kind of slipped to this spot too. So, but I think this would be a perfect plug and play tackle for them, not paying Smith. And I have a lot of friends that are Cowboys fans living in Texas, and they think Jerry Jones just has to win every deal. So he's going to not sign anybody basically because he has to be the winner of every deal. And that's why they also have cap issues, but it's been tough to watch. Even if you're a Cowboy hater, it's been tough to watch for this franchise for a little bit. But I think Fashanu is the best fit for them right away.
If you want to win every deal when it comes to getting tickets for any live event, then the Game Time app is something you must get. Bogman knows because of the Game Time app, he was able to see his Diamondbacks lose not one, but two games in the World That's Series true. Live and in person. It was an incredible experience. But seriously, it is the place to go. And I've been on this app too. I'm going to six concerts in the next 6 months. I'm all over this. So whether it be sports, music, comedy, theater events, it doesn't matter. The Game Time app has everything you need, including no ticket fees, any of that other nonsense, last-minute tickets, flash deals, zone deals. They've got all this stuff going on. Plus, you can also see the view from your seats, which is great. So the Game Time app is very advanced. It takes a lot of the guesswork out, and also a lot of the nonsense of ticket buying, and goodness knows there's a lot of that. So download the Game Time app now, create an account, and use that promo code, of course, say with me, Fantasy Pros, for $20 off your first-time purchase. Again, terms apply. You can create your account and redeem that promo code Fantasy Pros. That's FANTASYPROS for $20 off your first order. So download the Game Time app today. Last minute tickets, Lowest prices guaranteed. I'll be looking closely last minute for any Olivia Rodrigo tickets for my daughters. And yes, I will have to go to that concert if those deals do come through. So let's go and see what's on a deal here next for number 25. It's the Green Bay Packers. Thor, this is up to you. Now, don't sabotage the Packers, Mr. Minnesota Viking. Give them a good pick.
You know me too well.
Green Bay
needs help on the defensive front. Jerzon Newton is one of the two defensive tackles at the top of this class, like we were talking about before. Will he go before Murphy? Will Murphy go before him? Green Bay don't care. They'll take either one of them to get down here. We're going to give them Jerzon Newton and help out that defensive front.
Okay, Tampa is up next. So Tampa Bay Trey gets a pick for Tampa Bay at 26. What are you doing, Trevor?
Yeah, this one's pretty perfect. I think that Graham Barton, the left tackle for Duke, is going to be very high on the Buccaneers' radar when it comes to this draft and projecting guys to be in the late first round range. They have some really nice guys who play at tackle. Tristan Wirfs, of course, is one of them. I think Luke Gedecky played really well at right tackle this past year. But they still need a little bit more interior offensive line help. And I think Graham Barton gives you the ability to play him at guard, play him at center. Jason Light, their general manager, has had success before taking college left tackles and moving them inside. Ali Marpet is one. Cody Mock is somebody who also played at tackle, and they have now kicked him inside. So he's had success doing that before. I think he could do it again with Graham Barton.
We're big fans of Cody Mock here on the program. Big chance. He's fun. All right. So up next is 27. That's the Arizona Cardinals, Boggs, with their second pick of the first round. What do they do?
Yeah, they need a lot of help on defense, and I'm going to give him Chop Robinson, the edge rusher out of Penn State here. Now, Chop he's a speed rusher. That is like his one move right now. I think he can develop into more, but there is that kind of gamble that you're taking with a guy like this. Insane athletic traits, but there's a little Bud Dupree in here, right? Like, Bud Dupree, of course, a first-round pick for my Steelers. His nickname in Pittsburgh was Dud Dupree because he didn't work out. He's more of a chase-down sack guy than a put pressure on the quarterback immediate guy. So there's a little bit of that, but they really need help at edge. They need help at interior, too. They signed four guys. I don't think I like really any of them. But this is a big, big need for this team, and I think Chop would at least come in here, even though he's raw, and put pressure on quarterbacks on third down with some speed along the edge. So I think that's what the Cardinals need. They have another pick pretty quick and then get a cornerback at that spot, but the edge is drying up pretty quick here, so let's give him Chop.
Buffalo's up next, Thor Nystrom at 28.
We're going to give them Tyler Guyton from Oklahoma, measured in a little over 6'7", 328 with the 9'7 RAS. Guyton does need a little time, though. You know, he's not one of those guys that I'm saying day one for sure he can start. On Buffalo, this would be a good situation because both their starting tackles are entering the last year on their deals. Maybe they feel like they can afford to take a developmental guy that maybe won't get on the field right away. So we'll give him Tyler Guyton.
Guyton off the board. That brings up the Lions at 29. Trevor Sikkema, you're on the clock.
So for the Lions, they certainly could go corner. I didn't love the corner options that were still left right around here. Like, Nate Wiggins is still on the board for them, but I don't think Nate Wiggins is going to be their type. Like, Nate Wiggins just doesn't tackle the way that the Lions want you to tackle. Every time I've heard their defensive coordinator or defensive coach, you'll talk this offseason, physicality tackling is the very first thing that they mention. And Wiggins just doesn't do a lot of that on a play-by-play basis. So I'm not sure that they're going to go in that direction. I have them go on offensive line. Frank Ragnow is obviously still there at center, but it was a little bit of a mystery whether or not he was going to retire. And so maybe that's not in the not too distant future. Graham Glasnow is stepping in. Jonah Jackson is out. They lose him in free agency. Kevin Zeitler is there. But I like the idea of them getting Zach Frazier, the interior offensive lineman for West Virginia, because I think he is somebody who has a size and the skill set to be able to play guard or center. And so now you go into this season, and if any of those interior offensive line guys go down, you've got somebody on your hopeful Super Bowl run that you could really plug and play right there and get a lot out of them with a player as talented as Frazier. So I got Zach Frazier going to the Lions at the back end of the first round.
That brings up Baltimore 30. Scott Bogman, you're up next.
Yeah, I had a tough time with this one, which wide receiver I wanted for Baltimore. And I'm a Steelers fan. So I don't like them, but I will not sabotage them either. Let's keep the track meet of the Ravens going here. Yes, they did add Derrick Henry, but, you know, I think if you replace Aguilar with Xavier Worthy on the outside, you just have so much speed here. The threat is so much on every play with Zay and Worthy for them to go deep. So those linebackers and safeties may have to play a step or two further back, and that gives Derrick Henry even more running room. So I think the added speed of Worthy helps this team that is already very fast, and you have your big targets over the middle like Mark Andrews and Isaiah Likely. So add some track speed and keep it rolling for the Ravens, and they just sit and take the best player at the spot every single time anyway, and my boy Worthy, I think, is the best player available.
That is what they do historically. At 31, the San Francisco 49ers. Thor, you're on the clock.
49ers, a team last couple years, their biggest weakness has been in the secondary. They need to address that. Hasn't been sufficiently done so far this offseason. Nate Wiggins, who Trevor was just talking about, is falling down here. We know he's got speed. The physicality and the tackling efficiency, we're going to have to work on that a little bit, but the kid's an absolute burner. I always think back to when he chased down Amari and Hampton from behind, slapped that ball out. So getting him here at 31 would also be a really nice value with him falling down the board. You know, you have sort of that quagmire of cornerbacks after Quinion. One of those guys is going to get knocked down here. That's Wiggins. San Francisco gets a good value.
All right, so good value for San Francisco. Let's close out round one. Trevor Sikkema with the Kansas City Chiefs at 32.
Let's go with Jordan Morgan, the offensive tackle from Arizona. It gives you a little bit of tackle guard flexibility. You know, I think that the Chiefs are set on the interior, but again, this is a team that is looking to three-peat, might be looking to fill an offensive tackle role either next year or maybe in the future long-term with Donovan Smith no longer there. And so I think that this is a good spot for Morgan. I don't know how much higher he's going to go than this. I feel like the back end of the first round is a really good spot for him. Really good starter over the last 2 years. Tore his ACL last November, but came back and played this entire season this past year. Wasn't as strong in the offseason when he was at the Senior Bowl. I think he struggled a little bit that week, but still think he's a good football player. I don't know if he's got the measurables to be able to survive a tackle full-time in his NFL career, but I do think he's got that flexibility that the Chiefs would really like.
All right, that'll put round one in the books, round two right around the corner. But if you're already looking at dynasty drafts coming up and you want to see how free agency is affecting fantasy football drafts, our mock draft simulator tool is open at fantasypros.com/simulator. It's fast, it's free, and it's a way to practice any kind of draft, including dynasty startup drafts and rookie drafts. Again, it's up, it's free, it's ready for you at fantasypros.com/simulator. So go mock draft today and get prepared for all of your upcoming dynasty drafts. Let's get to the next round here at 33. Thor, kick things off with Carolina at 33.
Carolina did well to trade for Deontay Johnson. They still need more receiving help. Jonathan Mingo so far hasn't worked out. Adam Thielen nearing the end of his career. Bryce Young badly needs more weapons. Let's give him one. Ladd McConkey from Georgia. Guys open more than 7-Eleven, as the kids say. The separation percentile is ridiculous. When we saw him down in Mobile, no one could stay with him. So in one-on-ones, the defensive back started playing off to just give the free completions because he was just licking everybody down there. And also, Ladd McConkey, going there, not only are you going to get the separation, you know, he was 90th percentile or above and all the separation percentiles at PFF, you also give him a really good mentor to start out his career with in Adam Thielen. I think this would be a good pick.
All right, so we've kicked off the second round. Ladd McConkey to Carolina. The Patriots at 34. Trevor, what do they do?
Yeah, so Jaden Daniels, their first-round pick in this mock draft here. When you look at their wide receiver room in New England right now, it's a lot of names that you know, but I wouldn't say that it's necessarily like names that you're super excited about, right? I mean, it's KJ
that would be
Osborne,
accurate. Yes, thank
Kendrick
you very
Bourne,
much.
Kendrick Bourne, Jalen Reagor, Tyquan Thornton, Juju Smith-Schuster, Kayshon Boutte, DeMario Douglas. But it's like, man, they need somebody who could be a legit wide receiver two or wide receiver one for them. I like Troy Franklin from Oregon. I think that he's in the mix to be wide receiver four in this class. Just a really productive dude over the last couple of seasons, especially this past year with Oregon. Really good from a vertical standpoint, but I think he's got the overall athleticism and playmaking ability after the catch to be that total wide receiver one that can ride, that can run a variety of different routes. So we'll grab Troy Franklin going to New England here at the top of the second round.
Shout out to you, Trevor Sikkema, for naming all of the mediocre wide receivers on the New England Patriots. I really appreciate that. At 35, the Arizona Cardinals are up next. Scott Bogman, that means you're up.
Quick, Joe, name me one Cardinals corner. No, it's Sean Murphy Bunting on the boundary, and then Garrett Williams, who they drafted last year, is a very good pick as the slot guy. The other boundary corner right now is between Starling Thomas, Keytrell Clark, I don't know. Devon Wilson.
So you're going corner here.
I'm going corner. Kool-Aid McKinstry, the corner from Alabama. I think it's an easy pick. I also, in remembrance of this pick, I'm wearing my Kool-Aid Man shirt today, my red shirt. So let's give him some Kool-Aid. Oh, yeah, to the Arizona Cardinals.
All right, Thor, you're up next with the Washington Commanders at 36.
Washington Commanders, their first pick in this exercise, we gave them Drake May. Earlier this offseason, they got Austin Ekeler. They got Zach Ertz. Obviously, you have McLaurin and Dotson in your receiving core. So that stuff is we're starting to work. We're starting to make some progress over Washington. But they're starting projected tackles right now. Braden Daniels and Andrew Wiley. The offensive line needs help. And if you're going to bring in Drake May, a guy who my nitpick about his evaluation is throwing under duress, you need to fortify that offensive line if you're going to bring him in and hope to start him early on in his career. So that's what we're going to do with this pick and give Washington Patrick Paul from the tackle from Houston. Patrick Paul's been doing this for a long time. He's enormous. He's rangy. He has the length and went and tested very well during the pre-draft process.
All right, so Patrick Paul off the board. That brings up the Chargers again with their third pick in two rounds at 37. So you're on the clock, Trevor.
Yeah, I'm just picking for the Chargers basically this entire mock. It's just me doing a two-round mock for the Chargers. I'm going to go with Tavondre Sweat here. You know, they restructured the contracts of Joey Bosa, of Khalil Mack. They have Tuipulotu as well to off the edge, but I still think they need an impact interior defensive lineman. Tavondre Sweat could be that for you. And I think they have a deep enough interior line group to where I'm a little bit worried about Sweat's conditioning, right? I mean, like, how often can you really put him on the field if he's pushing 400 pounds? So I have a little bit of those concerns, but if you have a deep enough defensive tackle rotation, you can keep him off the field and you can get him to catch his breath and then give you some wow moments like we saw this past season. So I'm going to go to Tavondre Sweat here for the Chargers.
All right. That brings up at 38, the Tennessee Titans, Scott Bogman, that's to you.
Yeah. Let's give them Darius Robinson, the big edge rusher out of Missouri here, a converted guy from the interior that had his best season as an edge rusher. And you just want someone taking up space when you have a guy like Simmons in the middle, right? So Robinson can give you help rushing the passer. You can also be a push guy and help in the run game as well. So I think it's a really good fit for Tennessee with this defensive line. I think he's a great fit there. I'd love to see him playing next to Simmons.
We're giving new players to old teams, but if you need new tires for your old car, Discount Tire is your go-to. They have exceptional service, and you get a 30% shorter average wait time when you buy and book online at DiscountTire.com. They have this really cool feature called Treadwell, which is an online tire buying guide that gives you a transparency on tire performance, as well as personalized recommendations based on your location and your driving habits. Discount Tire is also the largest independent tire retailer in the country, so it has the biggest selection of tires and wheels. And here's a pro tip from the experts at Discount Tire. You can prevent wear and boost gas mileage by keeping your tires properly inflated. Tire pressure supports the weight of your vehicle, and it's important to check that for safety. So if it's been over a month since you last checked your tire pressure, stop by one of their local stores for a free tire safety air pressure check. Discount Tire, let's get you taken care of.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we got to give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are going to be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rock the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storr on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
NFL Total Access, the podcast, is getting you ready for the 2024 NFL Draft. I'm your host, Andrew Levy, and I'll be delivering two shows a week to make sure you're caught up on the very latest NFL news, including every free agency move and how it changes the draft needs of your favorite team. Draft experts and talent scouts, mock drafts, and a few shock drafts, too. NFL Total Access, the podcast, is already on the clock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We just checked on, of course, the air pressure of Thor Nystrom. It's good. He's ready to make the 39th pick. The Carolina Panthers are on the board. What do they do, Thor?
Chris, we're going to give him Chris Braswell from Alabama. We took a Georgia guy for him just a little bit ago. Let's bring in the rival on the other side of the ball in Braswell. Braswell, a straight line speed to power guy that has veteran savvy about him. He's got some of the counter moves that go off that. You got to sit back on it. And tested very well during the pre-draft process. The last couple of years, the pressure numbers he's put up, 13 sacks this past year, 56 pressures. A guy that would come in and play right away. He was playing at Alabama these last couple of years. So we're going to give Carolina Chris Braswell.
Okay, next up here after Thor's selection, we go to number 40, and that's the Washington Commanders, Trevor Sikkema.
I'm going to give him an edge rusher here. And, you know, I've had them take edge in some mock draft exercises, even after free agency, and some Washington Commanders fans are like, whoa, hold on. They signed a couple of edge rushers. Why are we going edge rusher so early parts in the early parts of the second round? It's like, okay, well, they signed Dorrance Armstrong, Cleveland Farrell, Dante Fowler Jr. Like, they could still use like an impact edge rusher, a young impact edge rusher. So I'm going to go with Jonah Ellis, the edge rusher from Utah. He's one of my favorites. And he's really good with his hands, really good at disengaging blocks, understands pass rush plans really, really well. He's got NFL bloodlines. His father played in the NFL for a decade. He's got three brothers that are playing in the NFL currently. And so it's an NFL family. We're going to bring him to the party, and we're going to have him play for the Commanders.
Scott Bobbin, bring somebody to the Packer party at 41.
Yeah, let's give him Tyler Newbin, the safety out of Minnesota. McKinney plays more free, but actually last year in 2023, he played in the box more than he ever has. And I think that's what you do if you select a guy like Newbin. You let him range, you let him play free, you let him go attack the ball and things like that, and you bring McKinney down into the box. I think both these guys can do either, though. So we'll see how the Packers would use these guys if this is the scenario. My buddy CK, who I do a draft podcast with, is a Packers fan, and he makes this selection for the Packers so many times, so I figure I'm not going wrong by Packers fans here taking Tyler Newbin for them. And it, you know, it's just a problem that they've had the last couple of years, and now it would be solved if they got Newbin and McKinney. No issues in safety for them.
42 belongs to the Houston Texans. Thor, that pick belongs to you.
Yeah, Texans, they have the 2 second-round picks and the no first-round pick right after having traded down with the Vikings. So this would be their first pick of the draft. You have two big weaknesses that I see. You got the wide – or two big holes, I should say. You got the wide receiver one, and then you have cornerback. I think when I was making this pick, looking at the board, you still have wide receiver depth, and that's something I think NFL teams are going to find when we get to late April with the depth of this wide receiver class. So they might be able to defer this pick, maybe a little foreshadowing here, till their next second-round pick. And therefore, I'm going to go with TJ Tampa from Iowa State and try to plug that cornerback hole. You have Derek Stingley on the one side. He played much, much, much better as a sophomore than he did as a freshman last year. But on the other side, Houston right now, they have half measures. You have Jeff Okuda. You have CJ Henderson. You're trying to turn someone else's trash into your treasure. I think they would feel a lot better about that room if they brought in a guy that they felt good about their evaluation on. TJ Tampa could be a fit there.
Who will the Falcons bring in at 43, Trevor Sikkema?
I think it's time for a corner, right? I gave him edge rusher in the first round. I think they need corner upgrades at some point in this draft. Here we've got Kamari Laster on the board. So as we say on the NFL Stock Exchange podcast, low moving costs, right? Because he plays at the University of Georgia. He's going to be playing for Atlanta. You don't got to pay for him to move apartments, to move condos, to move houses, whatever it is. Low moving costs. So you like the talent. You like projecting him to an outside role with the Falcons. And you're saving a little bit of money for the franchise, too.
Okay, save a little money there. Let's see what happens with the next pick. Scott Bogman at 44. The Las Vegas Raiders are on the clock.
Yeah, it's Michael Penix Jr., the quarterback out of Washington, again for me, for the Raiders. I think I had the Raiders last time in this exercise. I gave them Penix, too. I think this is like the last pick where he would go. I think, you know, in other scenarios, maybe a team is trading up for him. There are many, many QB needy teams in the NFL, of course, but I think this would be a perfect plan, too. You have Minshew that you brought in there. You have Aiden O'Connell maybe for immediately. So if you want to develop Penix and not put the pressure on him immediately, you wait for him in the second round. You take him here. You let him develop behind a couple of veterans, and you have great targets for when he comes in. I think, you know, Adams and Myers, I think that'd be a great starting spot for him with Mayer, a young tight end as well. I think this would be a really good landing spot for Penix for his career. So I would love to see him land here.
I would agree. At 45, the New Orleans Saints are up next. Thor, that pick belongs to you.
In the first round in this exercise, we helped out the offensive line by giving New Orleans Amarius Mims. They also need defensive line help. They had problems last year protecting the quarterback, and then on the other side of the ball, getting after the quarterback. So that was what I was primarily thinking about in making this pick. We're going to give them Braden Fiske, the interior defensive line from Florida State, who tested like an absolute banshee, 9.89 RAS at the combine at almost 6'4", 295 pounds, and he is a proven pass rusher. So that's a guy who's going to come in and address your primary need as far as that goes. Fiske to New Orleans.
At 46, the Indianapolis Colts. Back to you, Trevor, for the next pick.
Yeah, so Boggs had him going corner in round one, which is a good pick. I mean, they definitely need corner. There's no doubt about it. But the question with Indianapolis is always surrounding Brock Bowers, right? If Bowers makes to 15, he's taking him, he's taking a corner. Bowers is off the board, so that's not really a discussion here in this mock, but they do have the option to take a tight end here, and I'm going to give him Jatavion Sanders, who is tight end two in this class, in my opinion, from Texas. Former five-star guy, incredible mover. I mean, we're just watching his tape recently. This guy can run every single route in the route tree. He truly is a supersized wide receiver in that regard. Are you going to want him on the line, in line, next to the offensive line? Often, no. He's probably more of like a big slot, just a receiving tight end type of a player, but that's exactly the role that the Indianapolis Colts really need.
And if you're keeping score at home, that's three Longhorns for Trevor and only one for me. So
there you go.
That's true.
Well, it's a nice change of pace. All right, let's get back to the Giants at 47. Scott Bogman, that pick is yours.
Yeah, I'm going to go Chris Jenkins, the interior defensive lineman out of Michigan. I can't believe that you did take Sweat over Jenkins with Harbaugh there, Trev, but Sweat better.
I didn't want to go full Homer on it because I didn't think about this, but yeah. I wondered if people would be like, something's a little fishy here with this pick.
I mean, it makes sense, though. It is a need for both these teams. So now that Aaron Donald has retired, the best interior defensive lineman in the league is Dexter Lawrence with the New York Giants, and let's put someone in there next to him to free up space. And Jenkins is that guy. He can do a little bit of everything, but his best job playing next to Lawrence is keeping guys off Lawrence. I think he can do that. He can eat up space and get Dexter Lawrence to the quarterback a little more often because he is an absolute stud. Bring in Brian Burns there. That's going to be a dangerous defensive line next year. So, and that should make the corners better by proxy, right? Like if you're putting more pressure on the quarterback, the corner's job is a little bit easier. So I think it would help all around the defense to bring an interior guy there next to Dexter Lawrence.
Thor has the next pick at 48, and that's the Jacksonville Jaguars.
In the first round of this mock, we helped out their wide receiver room. They need help in the cornerback room as well, do the Jaguars. Enos Raikstra Jr. from Missouri is a guy who's going to fall a little bit further than his on-field play on the tape would suggest because of the iffy athleticism, which is going to bring out more questions about the handsiness. He's a very physical player, kind of a tone setter. He's a guy who's going to crash down against the run. Can he play boundary in the NFL, or is this going to be a pure projection to the nickel? Well, Jacksonville, you can bring him in. You can see that they have guys who are on the end of their contract there. They can figure it out, but he's going to get on the field early if indeed they do take him. So Enos Raikstra out of Jacksonville.
All right, after Jacksonville's off the clock, Cincinnati Bengals are on at 49. Trevor, that's yours.
So we had J.C. Latham go to the Bengals in the first round. I'm going to give him a wide receiver here. Keon Coleman's still on the board, so I'm going to go with Keon Coleman. I understand that there's some hesitation there because he's a big, strong, athletic receiver who kind of struggles to separate when you watch his tape. But I feel like the NFL is still higher on Keon Coleman, and I still, like, even with those concerns, like, he's a good wide receiver. He's just, he might not be with those top three guys that he was probably in the conversation with when the year began, but he's still a good receiver and still, I think, should go in the second round. He's got a ton of potential. Certainly with the T. Higgins situation looming of, is he going to be a Bengal long-term or not? Getting those three guys on the field at once this upcoming season would be incredible. And if you move on from T. Higgins, I think the Coleman could step in as a wide receiver too with Jamar Chase.
Well, look, if those two guys are still there, it's a lot easier for Keon Coleman against a third corner. That's for sure.
Yes.
Let's agree on that. At 50, the Philadelphia Eagles are up Scott Bogman. What do they do?
Yeah, they lost their two slot guys. Roby is gone, and Avante Maddox is gone. So let's give them Bullard, the safety out of Georgia, who actually played more in the slot and played better in the slot. I know Cooper DeJean can do that as well, who Thor took for them, but he can play anywhere. Like, he is a chess piece of, you know, do whatever you want with Cooper and return kicks and punts with them, right? I think Bullard is a piece that you can put in the slot and not have those concerns that you had last year. And that's, I mean, the Eagles don't want for much these days. Their roster is pretty complete, and I think this is the best piece for them.
All right, next pick up here after the Eagles have their man is the Pittsburgh Steelers. Thor Nystrom at 51.
The first pick at 20, Trevor was talking about how there would be celebrations in the streets if Troy Fatanu fell down to him. You helped out the offensive lineman there. In this pick, I think they're getting another guy who fell down the board at an acute area of need in Xavier Legette from South Carolina. Pittsburgh's having a really good offseason so far, and if these are the first two picks, there's going to be celebrations in the street. Right now, you do have George Pickens, but your other two projected starting wide receivers are Van Jefferson and Kelvin Austin. I think it would make a ton of sense to delineate this second-round pick to wide receiver. Mentioned before, there's a lot of value that's going to be had on day two with the receiving class just right, because of the depth of it. So we're gonna send Legette to Pittsburgh.
No diva right, in the so country, man, either. I like it. Sounds like all my cousins. All
right. Let's get to the Rams at 52. Trevor Sikkema, you're back up.
I'm going to go with Mike Samris still, the corner from Michigan. Just one of the best football players in the draft. And I think this is somebody who can start a strong safety for you. He can start a nickel corner for you. He's just a player that you want on the field at all times for your defense. And so with the Rams, I think that they recognize talent like that. They're sort of like a, not that they don't have plans for guys, but it can be, this is a situation where you can just draft them and kind of figure it out later. You know, with signing Cam Curl, you know, you got Quentin Lake, maybe he's just starting right in the slot immediately anyways, but this is somebody who I think could be on your football field for a long time. So Mike Samris still one of the best football players in the class going to the Rams here.
Next up at 53 is the Philadelphia Eagles and Scott Bogman.
Yeah, I'm going to give them Edgerrin Cooper, the linebacker out of Texas A&M. And they did solve a big problem here, right? They brought in Devin White, and N'Kobe Dean is still behind him. But like I mentioned in the last mock we did, he's coming off the Liz Franck injury as well. Zach Bond is kind of a tweener between middle linebacker, outside linebacker. And I think the other guy they brought in was Oren Burks, who's kind of a depth guy. So give me the, you know, a talented linebacker in the middle. I do like Peyton Wilson a little more, but Peyton Wilson has had an extensive injury history, and that is the last thing the Eagles need at this position is another guy that's going to get banged up. So I think they go a little bit safer and take Edgerrin Cooper.
Now, Trevor, do you know the origin of the Liz Franck and why it's called that? Because we learned that on the last show.
I don't. Am I about to
Scott
get educated?
Scott Bogman, I don't want to steal it from me, but would you like to educate him on as to Dr. Jacques Liz Franck de Saint-Martin?
Yeah, so the French soldiers used to get their foot stuck in the stirrup, and it, when they fell off their horse, and it would crack their foot in half. So that is where the Liz Franck injury is, from the top of the foot. So
wow. I didn't know it was the top of the foot, and I knew that it was painful, but I actually did not know exactly how that. Wow, that's a
French surgeon.
When Najee Harris had this injury, I think I was looking up how to donate my Liz. I didn't know what a Liz Franck was. I was looking up how to donate it to him, and I found it. So there you go.
There you go. See, Trevor, we're an educational program. I tell everybody that all the time. All right, so back to you here, Thor, with another selection here at 54, the Cleveland Browns.
It's going to be a mini linebacker run. Peyton Wilson, who Bogman was just mentioning, he could fall a little bit down because of the health. But in terms of the athletic profile and what we saw on the field last year, the guy's a menace. And then he goes into the pre-draft process, 6'4", 234, 9'8", Raz. Cleveland needs help in their linebacker room. Might help to roll the dice here a little bit, or might incentivize them to roll the dice on a guy who easily could be the best linebacker to come out of this class.
Okay, possibly the best linebacker in the class. Those are big words there, Thor. 55, that brings up the Miami Dolphins, Trevor Sikkema.
Yeah, their interior offensive line was not as good as it needed to be last year overall. Then you lose out on Robert Hunt, free agency, goes over to Carolina. So I just think they need an interior offensive line. Christian Haynes from UConn is one of my favorite guys in this class. I think that he's absolutely a top 60 player, somebody who should be considered here in the second round. And I think he fits perfectly for Miami, given the fact that they've got a pretty big roster hole now at that spot.
Dallas up next at 56, Scott Bogman.
Yeah, let's give him Jalen Wright, the running back out of Tennessee, as the first back off the board. This really could be an array of running backs, right? You could see Blake Corum going here. He might be the safest. I know, like Debro mentioned, last time we did a mock, their doctors, the Cowboys doctors, were taking care of Jonathan Brooks. So they seem to like what they see, how his knee has responded since his injury. So it could be Brooks. But I think Jalen Wright immediately comes in and can be a three down guy. He improved his pass blocking a lot last season. I think his score from PFF was pretty significant in that. So he can be a three down guy immediately. Just great initial burst. The receiving game, I don't know. They have Dowdle, they have Vaughn. So I don't know how many passes he's going to catch, but he was 22 of 25 targets last season. So he can do it. He just wasn't asked to do it a ton in his career at Tennessee. But also few miles on him. And they've had some running backs get banged up recently. So I think less usage is more for the Dallas Cowboys. And I have them taken right here.
In the home stretch here at 57, Tampa Bay is on the clock. Thor Nystrom, that's you.
We're going to give them Ricky Pearsall and keep Ricky Pearsall in the state. I love Ricky Pearsall's game, and I think he might have stamped his ticket into the second round by the way that he tested. He's had a very good pre-draft process. He impressed us down in Mobile. And then even for a proponent of Ricky Pearsall's game like myself, tested stunningly 9.9 RAS. So I think you get him here. You target him if you're Tampa Bay. You did bring back Mike Evans, but you got Godwin. I believe he's on the last year of his deal. Your other projected starting wide receiver right now is Trey Palmer, who probably should be more of a guy coming off the bench as a fourth receiver. Ricky Pearsall, you could start him in the slot right away, and then you can evaluate him in practices on the contingency if Godwin were to leave in the future, then could he play on the outside? But then you got three viable receivers you make this pick.
Green Bay up next, Trevor Sikkema at 58.
Yeah, so moving around to the roster, it feels like in the free agency spot, but even going into free agency, a lot of Green Bay's roster holes were positional value spots were a little bit lower. It was running back, it was linebacker, it was safety, right? It was like those were the areas where they needed to kind of get a change, get some upgrades. And it's not like, okay, we need an edge rusher. Well, we're probably not going to be able to get one there. We got to get one in the draft, or an offensive tackle or something like that. They're pretty set a lot of the premium position spots, but linebacker is one that they still have yet to really upgrade. They have Quay Walker. I'm going to give them Junior Colson here. So you got a duo of Junior Colson, Quay Walker, these younger linebackers that you can have some faith in moving forward.
The Houston Texans are up again. Scott Bogman at 59.
Yeah, Thor foreshadowed this pick when he was talking about taking TJ Tampa for Houston before. This is a wide receiver, Roman Wilson out of Michigan. A lot like McCarthy. You know, McCarthy wasn't asked to do a lot, so we didn't see as much of him as we could have seen him in a different offensive set. Same thing with Roman Wilson, right? They didn't throw the ball a ton, and they were up late a bunch, and they didn't need to throw the ball late at all. But when he was asked to go out and make plays, he made stunning plays this year. Acrobatic in the air, great getting to the ball, a lot of fun to watch. And who doesn't love an Ohio State quarterback throwing to a Michigan wide receiver? That would be a fun storyline as well. So I would love to see Roman Wilson operate next to Tank Dell and Nico Collins in this offense.
Thor, you're up next at 60 for the Buffalo Bills.
First pick for the Bills, gave him Tyler Guyton, the moldable ball of clay, the athletic guy in the first round to help out the offensive line. This time around, we're going to help out the other line and give them Michael Hall, the interior defensive lineman from Ohio State. Michael Hall, I think his stock is a little bit on the rise right now after his recent pro day performance. Ran a 4.76 at 299 pounds. The rest of his testing was really good there too. And then reportedly was looking really good in the drills. So I think that might get him up into the second round range, and Buffalo needs to help their interior defensive line.
Okay, so Buffalo off the clock. Detroit is back on at 61. Trevor Sikkema.
See, now I'm comfortable giving Detroit a corner. I got Max Melton coming off the board here from Rutgers. Liked him a lot coming into the season. He was my CB5 when we were coming out of summer scouting. Tape was a little bit up and down this past year. It felt like the NFL also was not as high on him. But, man, you know what? I just got to stick with what I like in the tape. I see an inside-out type of dude who could play in the slot for you. He could play on the outside. I thought he did really well at the Senior Bowl to showcase those kinds of skills, especially in the third down or red zone drills when it mattered most. And he tested very, very well in Indianapolis. So this is somebody who I think the Detroit staff's going to like a lot. So I'm going corner Max Melton here to Detroit.
Just three picks remain. Everybody's got one left. Baltimore at 62. Scott Bogman, you're up.
I'm going to give them Adisa Isaac, the edge rusher out of Penn State. We went on the offensive side of the ball with Worthy with the first pick. It was tough between tackle and edge here, but I think, you know, the Ravens, what do? They just sit and take the best player on the board. I think Adisa Isaac might be the best player on the board. It also fits a need for them at the edge because, you know, right now at edge, it's not looking great. It's like Brent Urban, Owe is pretty good, but Ojabo hasn't really produced the way that we thought he was going to. So we'll see what happens there. But I think getting them an edge rusher, an athletic guy like Isaac who can help out on third downs would fill a big need for them.
Thor at 63 for the San Francisco 49ers.
We're going to give them the BYU offensive tackle, Kingsley Suamataia. I almost didn't do it because I was afraid.
Can we stand up and applaud that?
Thank you so much. I was practicing that one. I was afraid of that one. But he's a guy that has a decent shot, I think, to get into the second round. You know, the top of the tackle class, so good. And this is a round where you start to get the tier break. We're down to the next level of guys. I think he'd probably be the last, on the train stop. And San Francisco, we gave them the corner in round one. They still need the offensive line help. Kingsley would help them out in that regard. Only 15th percentile height with him, but it's a little bit misleading. 55th percentile in terms of his reach, guy that could handle tackle in the NFL.
At 64, the last pick of the second round, the Kansas City Chiefs, the defending champions. What do they do, Trevor?
Let's round it out by giving Mahomes another passing weapon. Let's do Tez Walker, the wide receiver from UNC. I think that his range is kind of all over the place, depending on whether or not you weigh heavily his Senior Bowl performance, where it felt like he could not catch the football. If you watch the tape, there's a lot of things to love, not only at UNC, but also at Kent State. Even with Hollywood Brown being on the Chiefs, it's just a short-term deal. So getting Tez Walker in there, not forcing him into action right away, might actually be best case scenario for him. So we'll have Walker going out on the board to round out this mock.
There you have it. Now, I just saw breaking news here that Happy Gilmore 2 is actually going to be happening.
Oh my
so
God.
Trevor, the question is this your opportunity to become a great villain in a movie in your time? I think this might be it.
This is the movie? This is.
Do you play golf? Do you play golf? That's the question.
I do play golf. Am I going to be like Shooter McGavin's son for this one?
Oh, my Shooter God. Sikkema. That's perfect.
Shooter Sikkema Jr. I don't know. It could definitely work
Shooter
here.
Too,
I mean, I'd love
Boogaloo.
To see it. Make sure you check out Trevor on Twitter, Tampa Bay Trade. Of course, check out his amazing work at PFF and the podcast, everything they're doing there. They are first class in every single way. And of course, we've got a ton more available for you right here on the channel all the time. We're going to be doing more mock drafts. We will be live for the draft as we always are. So subscribe to the Fantasy Bros YouTube channel. Drop your comments below. And don't forget to ring that bell till it goes ding for notifications. Also, if you've got mock drafts going, obviously, you got to use the simulator. That's the way to get involved with all this right now. FantasyPros.com/simulator. You can run the mocks if you got dynasty startups going on right now or even any draft, really. So go get ready because this is that time of year. And of course, the amazing content that Scott Bogman and Thor Nystrom continue to churn out here, both on the written side and on the podcast side, between the Dynasty Show, the college football content, the betting content, everything. It's just been amazing here. So, gentlemen, this was super fun. I hope everybody out there watching enjoyed the show. What do you think about about the picks. Drop your comments below. And if you have any other fun facts about any other surgeries, we'd love to hear that as well. So you can drop that in there also. That'll do it for us. But the story of the game goes on for Bogman and Thor Nystrom. And of course, Trevor Sikkema. I'm Joey P. We'll see you next time, kids.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Fantasy Football Podcast. If you love the show, the best free way to support us is by leaving a positive review on Apple Podcasts at fantasypros.com/review or on Spotify. Follow us on X, Instagram, and TikTok at Fantasy Pros, and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.